Man, goals got him stirred up.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Thursday. Happy scrimmage day. We're going to talk about the scrimmage and expectations in a little bit, but I want to kind of get kicked off. Golish has gotten the Alabama fans stirred up over the Iron Bowl period, and I love it. And it's honestly really good for me because it's almost like it's reigniting the fire of the rivalry in myself as well. So I love what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm talking about. So obviously you had the Iron Bowl period launch. Let's call it the soft launch for spring. No idea how long, how often they're going to do it, but for 5 minutes – on Tuesday, they beat each other up with Dixieland Delight playing in the background. And it's called Iron Bowl period. And I think the reception from Auburn fans was overwhelmingly supportive because, hey, you're just coming off of going 0-6 versus Alabama in the big three sports this year. So why not try to do something a little different? But Alabama fans did not take kindly to it. You don't have to go very far. You can go to Twitter. You can go to Facebook. You can see comments like, playing this in the spring shows the infatuation. That's our boy Smooth. Smooth jumps in on my show sometimes. I love him, but that's just an example. Or, nice, this should serve them well against Baylor, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss, Vandy, Arkansas, and LSU. John Murray, yeah, exactly. So playing this song once a day or whatever for 5 minutes, that's going to make them overlook all those other teams. I could go on and on and on. A lot of little brother stuff, a lot of this, a lot of that. And I think that's good stuff, man. I think that's good back and forth. I think Auburn's been just sort of like laid there and took it for so long now, especially over this last 5-6 years, just lay there in some submission and just accept your fate. Shake it up, man. Golish is the kind of guy that takes things personal. And I want to remind Alabama fans that are pointing to this and laughing, it's not like this hasn't been done in the opposite direction. What do I mean by that? It's not like Alabama hasn't had similar messaging towards Auburn. I don't have to go extremely far back, but we can start with after the 2010 Iron Bowl, the quote-unquote comeback. You had signs in the locker room, never again, with pictures of Cam Newton, with the score blowing the 24-point lead. And you say, oh, you're probably making that up. No, no, my guy. You can go search it right now on Google. It was so bad that Nick Saban had to actually answer for it at a press conference, at a rally, at a whatever you want to call those things, like those summer tours where you go. Auburn does them too. He was asked about it. Tuck touched on the locker room signage at a speech in Mobile. Can you imagine what never again might mean, Saban said? Being ahead in a game 24-0 and losing the game 28-27, we don't want that to happen again. That's in the summer after the game, and the signage was up like right away. And then they got to get more creative because they went with the same thing never again after the kick six, and that was Scott Cochran's deal. Put never again. Oh, we're never going to let that happen again. Never going to, you know, And it's funny how it just can, it's not like it has happened as frequently as we liked, but the never again actually does happen again sometimes. So let's don't play this game. Let's don't play this high and mighty. We don't think about Auburn at all. We don't ever think about, we don't ever waste any time. We're this, we're that. Nah, come on now. Auburn may be a doormat, have been a doormat the last 5 years. But I think I know, you know, and everybody knows that that's not the norm. That's not the way it's been, you know, throughout history. So let's don't play this game where Auburn doesn't matter. We know it does matter, and we can point to specific examples where it's bothered Alabama fans as well, to the point where they have to change their messaging to sort of like reignite the fire. And this is sort of like a Golish thing. Like Golish is one you can look throughout his career. Like he takes things personal. He takes a lot of these games, a lot of these rematches, a lot of these rivalries. He takes them super personal. And you don't really have to go much further back than his first year at South Florida. His very first year at South Florida, they're playing Florida Atlantic. And Tom Herman is just such a weirdo. Remember when Tom Herman was supposed to be like the next great thing? And there were some Auburn fans that, and I may have been guilty at one point in time of being like, man, I wish we could get, you know, I wish we could get Tom Herman. I think he went obviously he went from Houston to maybe Texas or whatever, and he was terrible. But he's at Florida Atlantic, and they're up 51-14 on South Florida, and he kicks an onside kick and gets it and goes and scores. Now, I don't know if that harkens back to some other matchup with Alex Golish. I don't know. All I know is that it was very, very personal to Golish, and he stewed on it for a year. And then you have the infamous somewhat of like a get the heck out of my way after the rematch the next year and subsequent blowout from South Florida, sort of like payback. And I think they won like 44-21 or something like that, and the score wasn't really that close. Had ran for over 300 yards, just continued to pound them over and over again. And then you had the infamous meetup at the middle of the field, and it was sort of like a shake and pull and get the heck out of my way. Shake and pull and get the heck out of my way. And that really pissed off Tom Herman. That's just who that's who Alex Golish is. Like, he makes things personal. He finds ways to motivate the guys. He implements it, and it's serious. It's regimented. It's part of your everyday behavior. I don't really know if he had something against Syracuse, but you remember whenever they blew out, I believe it was Syracuse, and he says, man, we beat that A, didn't we? No idea if there's like something going on there as well, but one of those things that clearly felt personal. So, man, why not make the Iron Bowl personal again? Used to be. It used to be super personal. Why not make it that way again for these guys, these new guys that are coming in that may not necessarily understand how serious it is? Shoot, man, start putting it in them in spring. Start making them feel it in spring. I love it. I love stirring. I love getting the pot stirred, and Golish definitely seems like he's going to be one of those guys. Let me know what y'all think about the reactions. I think it's been hilarious. We're going to talk about the scrimmage here in just a second. I want to give a quick shout out to Scarlet Oaks Roofing and Renovation. If you live somewhere in East Alabama or even the Columbus market, there was a bad storm kind of rolled in last night. If you have any questions about your roof, why not get a free inspection? Call Preston 770-530-7738 or go to scarletoaksroofing.com. If you're scared or concerned about the insurance and all that good stuff, they have insurance experts on staff. So show them some love. It's Scarlet Oaks Roofing and Renovation. And then if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn, Opelika, East Alabama area, hit me up. Got a listener coming in today. We're going to go buy a game day rental, man. That's the kind of stuff that we do. I love doing with you guys. Meeting them today, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to buy, build, sell, or invest in the Auburn, Opelika area, hit me up. And show me some love, and we will talk soon. We'll be back right after this. Super secret nighttime scrimmage under the lights tonight. Probably one of the first big ones. They've had, I mean, obviously they have those end of practice team periods where their scrimmage is, so to speak, like it's ones on ones and, you know, twos on twos, and it's 11 on 11. But this is going to be a full, like, essentially like a dress rehearsal. Figuring out a lot of things for the first time, like having your first opportunity inside Jordan-Hare under the lights, knowing where to stand, knowing where people are going to be. Like, they're treating this thing like it's a true dress rehearsal, like it's the practice before a season game. And obviously I love that. It's not that it's anything necessarily new, a new concept. It's definitely been done before. This one's very, very important. And I think there's a lot of questions that I don't know that will necessarily be answered, but you can maybe start creating a pathway to an answer after tonight. Not going to be any eyes on the scrimmage, so we'll have to really dig to find out a lot of the information. I will say this. There's a press conference with Golish on Friday, and the guy will probably tell us what happened. I mean, it's hard in his answers. I mean, I know he's going to be asked specific questions. The guy's probably going to tell us how the scrimmage went down. But there's several things I think that you want to find out. There's several things I'm hoping they find out. And like I said, at least carving out a pathway to finding an answer. And it sounds like from everything that I'm gathering, and I don't know any details behind it, but it does seem like early on running the ball has been tough. Getting the ample amount of push has been a little bit tough, okay? Whether that be from the scheme, whether that be from, you know, the times that, you know, the different looks that Durkin's throwing at them. Again, there's a huge difference between installing an offense and game planning for a defense. And maybe this scrimmage will give them an opportunity to actually game plan a little bit and actually, I'm not working on this particular run, I'm working on getting first downs against the defense. I think that's something that we'll be able to, again, don't know that you'll get all the answers, but maybe at least open a doorway to finding an answer there. I don't necessarily think it's like there's a running back issue. You got six of them back there that can play. I just think for whatever reason, whether it be offensive line chemistry or the whole defensive look deal that they're getting, they've just had some issues at times. Not like they can't run the ball at all. Like there's been some big plays. We've seen some of it on the highlights. Just think they'd like to be able to run the ball better. So that's going to be something that I think is going to be an emphasis tonight. Maybe we can, get some answers there. I think the secondary I feel like you got two positions pretty much locked down. Maybe three if you count the nickel. Let's just go ahead and count the nickel. I think you have three positions pretty much locked down. That's Eric Winters at one of the safeties, Andre Jordan Jr., Sylvester Smith at nickel. I think that's your three that feel pretty confident they're locked in. And then you got a bunch of other guys that are fighting for those other positions. You got that other corner spot where you got Gavin Jenkins, you got Shamar Arnaud, you got Blake Woodby, you got Rayshon Pleasant. All, I think, have made plays at times, too, this spring. I think Rayshon Pleasant has had an interception. You got the older Tootle brother that had an interception in one of the last big simulated 11-on-11s at safety, kind of turning heads a little bit. So the secondary competition for those limited spots or those other spots is going to be fun to watch, and maybe you start kind of creating a pathway to those answers. And then along with running the ball, there's those two spots that are sort of up for grabs, not really, because the left tackle is probably going to be Stanton Ramil after he's back healthy. But the right guard spot and then left tackle right now are somewhat not interchangeable from the standpoint of the right guard can play left tackle. But, like, there's just a lot of guys coming in and out in those positions. So maybe you sort of lay the groundwork for figuring out exactly who might be, you know, the number one guy over there. And then some other rotations, if guys get dinged up or you need to put a new center or you want to see what Cale Ellis looks like and then how does that shake up everything across that front, you can do a lot of things just continuing to build the depth and continuing to build the continuity and honestly future success of that room. And then obviously quarterbacks. Quarterbacks is another thing. You want to see Byram continue to make big plays, continue to make big throws. It's so hard for him in these particular situations just because his legs are such a weapon. And I know, I mean, he's even done interviews. I know that he says that, you know, he wants to throw first, but dang, man, that's a weapon. Those legs are just as good as a check down. You know what I mean? But you definitely want to see him make some big plays. And then I think you want to see kind of a true backup emerge. Feels like Tia is starting to maybe separate himself a little bit, but maybe go ahead and make a couple of plays to where, again, that's no question. And then you can just kind of continue to build off of that. So a lot of stuff that I'm sure we'll hear about. Hopefully we'll get some details. Hopefully we'll have some folks. We can have some espionage is not the right word, is it? Some spies. Just kidding. Hopefully we can have at least some folks that can share some of the more finer details of the scrimmage, the bigger plays in detail versus just some very high-level stuff. So we'll see what happens, but it's exciting. And first scrimmage, and then, man, A-Day is closing in. A-Day is just, what, 16 days away, I guess? So barely over 2 weeks. It's good stuff, man. I'm actually getting pretty excited for it. Hopefully you guys are too. And we're going to try to do some kind of get-together. So just be on the lookout for the details on that. And then obviously Auburn's got your NIT Final Four matchup tonight versus Illinois State. Auburn's still a 6.5-point favorite, which is, you know, which is cool. Good to go in as a favorite. Illinois State does not have a ton of size whatsoever. They do have their big man, though, he's a hoss. He's like a Charles Barkley style forward. If you catch my drift, Chase Walker, he's like 6'8", 6'9", almost 300 pounds. But that's really it. Their guards are smaller, 6'1", 6'2", 6'4". And they play a lot of guards, and they shoot relatively a high percentage from the three-point line. So Auburn's definitely going to have to extend and not get in a situation where, you know, like they have in the past where they're leaving guys open, because I think these guys can knock them down. So a lot to play for. You had a shot in the arm with, adding the big 7-foot center for next year. You hire your GM. Like, hopefully they can kind of keep that positive momentum rolling, win this one, get to the championship. Let's just walk through this thing, man. Walk through this NIT, win it, put it under our belt, and move forward. Need big games from guys like Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman, obviously Tahad. Let's just go ahead and put this one away tonight. We will have a barn cast, so make sure you're locked in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Those have been a blast. All the NIT ones have been just incredible. So make sure you're locked in for that tonight. I believe it's at 8:30 tip. So subscribe, hit the alert bell so you're alerted and you're ready to go when we drop that thing. So, guys, really appreciate it. Let me know what you think about stirring the Bama fans up. Let me know if you love it, if you hate it, and everything in between. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.